Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would have fought that I might not be delivered to the Jews." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable sisters and dear parishioners, today is the, besides being the Feast of Christ the King, it is the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. And there is quite a connection there because in that 22nd Sunday, the gospel of that day, we have our Lord being asked whether it is lawful to pay tribute to Caesar or not. And if you remember, the coin was shown to our Lord. And remember, the enemies of our Lord were trying to trap him. This was not the only time they were going to attempt this. And they figured that they would entrap Jesus because if he said it is lawful to pay tribute through taxation to Caesar, they could accuse him of a false loyalty to Caesar and not putting the Jewish people first. Remember, they were groaning under the yoke of Roman submission. Some of them even felt it was tyrannical, the way the Romans came in and took over their country. So again, the thinking was, if he says pay the tax, they can say he is supporting our oppressors. But if our Lord said, don't pay the tax, then they could accuse him of breaking the law. He could be complained to the Romans, this man says, don't pay the taxes. So they thought that they had our Lord trapped. But Jesus, of course, being Almighty God, knows the way out of their traps, and he gave us the correct way to look at things. He said, whose image is on the coin? And they said, Caesar's. He said, well, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. What our Lord was saying is that God gives all authority. St. Paul echoes this in one of his epistles, saying all authority is above, whether it be church authority or state authority or parental authority or religious authority, it all comes from God. And the teaching of the Catholic Church is quite clear as it explains this. It says, in civil matters, God has given to the state the authority to decide. It has the supreme power in civil matters. And I should say civil matters only. If it's a spiritual matter, then the church has that authority, faith and morals. So our Lord was saying that he didn't want the church to be concerned about running all of the temporal affairs that have to be taken care of in any society. The focus of the church has to be on the salvation of souls, and the church has authority over faith issues and morality issues. And that only makes sense. And if it's not a faith or morals issue, like what should, you know, where should a property line be, or, you know, any matter that's a temporal concern, then the state has that authority. And that's what our Lord is saying. He was saying, if it's a just tax, pay it. That is an obligation that is had by all of us. Pay just taxes, not just unjust taxes, but I'm not in a position, nor do I have the time to discuss that issue. That would just simply not be proper for the pulpit. I can only give you the principle. So our Lord was explaining that, and I find this coincides quite well with the Feast of Christ the King this year. And so even though there's this separation, this doesn't mean that the state can be godless. This doesn't mean that the state must deny spiritual and moral values. This doesn't mean that the state can persecute the church. This doesn't mean that the state can claim authority over spiritual or temporal matters. And the state, that means the rulers of our country, have the obligation to acknowledge Christ as King of society. Even though he doesn't want the church to rule over civil matters, he is still the king. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But what we saw happen in the last couple of hundred years, we saw a great divorce happen. A great divorce. A divorcing of the state away from God. And this is what concerned Pope Pius XI so much. And this is why he instituted the Feast of Christ the King in 1925. Because he saw that one after another, the governments of the countries of the world were all declaring themselves divorced from God. He wasn't claiming that the church has authority in civil matters, but he was reminding civil rulers that everything belongs to Christ. And that they have that obligation, and wonderful to relate in Catholic countries, and unfortunately there don't seem to be any of them left. But in times past, Catholic rulers would dedicate their country. They would consecrate their country to Almighty God. They would consecrate it to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And needless to say, those who hate Catholicism or our Lord, our Blessed Mother, they would find this extremely annoying, to say the least, and they would always work against that. Their cry is, keep God out of society. Keep God out of government. And that can only spell doom for a country. Why? Because acknowledging God, who he is, acknowledging his rights, acknowledging the church he founded, can only be for the safety and welfare and defense of the people. It will mean the upholding of their God-given rights. And so Pope Pius XI, as I said, was trying to heal this tremendous divorce by the institution of the Feast of Christ the King. Yes, there is that distinction between church and state. Our Lord says it, as I said, in the Gospel for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. So what can you and I do? Can we consecrate America to the Sacred Heart of Jesus as the rulers of this country? Well, obviously we can't. We're not the rulers in this country. But we can, though, and this we must do, make him king of our hearts. Make him king of our families. Make him king of our parish. This we can do and must do. And pray that one day our country will lovingly submit to this best of kings, this king who laid down his life to redeem us. And yes, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. And what he meant by that, again, is I'm not going to rule temporally. I'm not going to, or I shouldn't say not rule temporally. I will not force. This is not a mandated. You have to choose to love me. You have to choose to serve me. You have to choose to consecrate yourselves to me. And so this is the great cry for this Sunday. And let us answer wholeheartedly from our inner selves, thou art my king. O Mary, thou art my queen. Jesus, thou art the king of our family. And this is the beautiful and very important home enthronement to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I urge you to do that if you haven't done it already. And renew it today, especially in your homes, if you have done it, your home enthronement to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And after Mass today, we will renew our act of consecration. And that means, it has to mean something, obviously. We can't just say it. It has to mean that we are loving him and serving him and dedicating ourselves as a parish. So again, he is the king. Mary is the queen. They are really inseparable, and I do not have the time today to go into the great detail on how they rule together. And not because Jesus is insufficient in any way in himself, but he chose to make use of his mother. We do salute her almost every day in our rosary. Hail, Holy Queen. And remember, in the Old Testament, more often than not, the mother of the king was the queen, not his wife. And unfortunately, often there was polygamous situations where there was more than one wife. So you can see how it was, why that logically would make sense. Historically, it happened. The mother of the king was the queen. So how beautifully that fits in with Jesus and Mary. And let us, on this day, as I said, give ourselves wholeheartedly to him. And let us never be one of those who say, we have no king but Caesar. Yes, that was said on Good Friday. We have no king but Caesar. But we say, thou art the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we love thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.